Hello, good evening, and welcome to In the Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. And the meeting's notorious. It leaves punters furious, but my God, it's glorious. We're off to Goodwood for the week. My name's Ross Briley, and we are excited, full of trepidation, and again, fresh and optimistic, and a little bit richer in terms of the studio team as well. If you watch Friday night, then I'd be very disappointed if you didn't make some cash off York and Ascot on Saturday. But it can soon dwindle away at Goodwood. We've got some decent fields. We've got the return of Scandinavia versus Trawlerman, of course. Kirat sprang a surprise last year. Does he have a big chance down in grade this year? And will we see a vintage performance from a two-year-old as well? All these questions will be answered by this time tomorrow night. And as ever, we've got a top panel for you, and we are, of course, live and interactive. So let us know what you fancy in the chat. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff. You know what to do, but still do it. Don't get complacent. You've just got to keep doing the work. You've got to keep doing the work, or this game will bite you in the backside. Anyway, Robbie Wilders.
Hi, Ross.
How are you doing?
I'm in a good mood. Yeah,
I bet you are.
We had a couple of technical difficulties, but we're here now.
We are.
And we're ready to go.
There is a smashed TV in the corner, but luckily with Contiki and the like, you can buy us all a TV each.
Yeah, it's quite nice, yeah. Might have lost access to a certain firm. Should I reveal that? I don't know. But
I'm surprised with your face that they give you bets across the counter anywhere.
Yeah, I need to recruit some people, I think.
Yeah, you need to have a shave and a haircut.
Yeah, oh, I've never been shaving, mate.
No,
fair. If you've got dark hair, keep the beard.
But again, you're only as good as your last winner. So, glorious Goodwood, 5 days of it. Where do you stand on the poor Keely? Absolutely loves the place. The Tom Siegel, we'll find out in a second. Where are you on the scale?
I'm expecting a bit of harshness from Mr. Siegel.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But we like that button. I like it because it's still great betting puzzles, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's a different. You're going to get hard luck at Royal Ascot and Glorious Goodwood. It's a different type of hard luck, yeah.
If anything, actually, I've started to come around more to being able to take the Goodwood hard luck better than the Ascot hard luck, because the Ascot hard luck, I'm watching the race and thinking, well, I can't win. Like, halfway through, I'm in the completely wrong place, I can't win. At least Goodwood, like, you have sort of 80% of the race before you go, oh, fuck. You know what I mean?
That's a fair take, yeah. I mean, it's so, especially on the straight track. Ascot, the straight track are good when the sprints, like, they're not massively draw races, I wouldn't say. No. I mean, it just gets messy around the bend at times.
Yeah, pace races more, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Enough of that. Look, we've got the whole week to talk about that kind of stuff. Tom Siegel. I mean, the upside is, again, like the King George on Saturday, so far, there's not a single race where we've had decks at Goodwood this week over the next couple of days where I'm thinking, oh, that's a bit of a disappointing lineup. Again, the fields look fantastic.
Yeah, always good at Goodwood. I mean, the good races are always brilliant, aren't they? The shoulder ones are a bit, you know, some of them are a bit ropey, but that's Goodwood for, isn't it? Some people, you know, Keel Slabs, all that sort of 0-80 handicap stuff. It's not really my game, but I love the good stuff. And you just got, as you say, you just got to take the rough with the smooth, haven't you? You're going to get, you know, we've got to remember, it's for every bad luck, you get good luck sometimes as well. I mean, you can have plenty of winners that shouldn't have won, as well as ones that didn't win that might have won. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to take the rough with the smooth and just go with the flow. You know, it happens every year.
Yep.
It's going to be hard luck stories and we move on.
Yeah, there's just no middle ground, is there?
That's just I don't like bitterness in punters because, like Tom says, it does go in cycles. Like, we've all backed lucky winners in our time.
It depends on you. Yeah, I agree. I don't like the bitterness. I think there should be some sort of... I'm considering setting up a phone line that's like, you know, like 60p a minute or whatever, and you ring up and you've got 5 minutes and I go, hello, you're through to the punting bad luck phone line. Like, what happened to you today? And you'll be like, you will never believe. And then you just get it off your chest, have a good rant. Because I think if you're a punter, you've got that in you. In our job, to a certain extent, you've got to sort of bite your tongue and be like, well, that's part of the game. Whereas when you're actually watching it, you're like, I cannot believe this has just happened.
Yeah, you're fuming, but like, time's a great healer, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
the
following day, you're fine. There's always another race, always another meeting.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say the following day, you're fine. And I was like, any Tony Martin stayers running this week? But
okay.
We've all got...
Yeah, let's not go there.
The following day, you're mostly fine. You're mostly fine. Look, we've all got them anyway. Like I said, subscribe and get involved in the chat. What do you think about today? Tommy Daniels says the cutaway makes a big difference at Goodwood when they have it. And again, one thing Tom, is the... Because look, I mean, it is like the African savanna out there. Everything is yellow and sun baked, and in some parts of Europe, you know, on fire. So is that going to change the way that Goodwood rides this week?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be really, really well watered, isn't it? And I'm guessing it's not going to be good to firm on the first day. I think it'll be near a good, be good, won't it? At best, I would imagine. I mean, I think they'd have had to have thrown tons of water on it because it dries out so quickly up there. There's no rain forecast. So by the end of the week, who knows what the ground will be. But I'm not expecting... Goodwood's always good ground. I've never, ever had a problem with ground at Goodwood.
Yeah.
It's the track that you have a problem with, not the ground.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay then, Mr. Siegel. Shall we... Producer Ben just said something in my ear, by the way. You're not playing a promo or a jingle, are you? You're not. All right, fair enough. Right, let's crack on then. Onto the first race of Glorious Goodwood 2026. I almost forgot what year it was then. Again, best prices are on my screen. Monitor is unfortunately currently out of action, but he'll be back very shortly. Noble Horizon, best price 11-2. 6-1 Diego El Queso. Yaber is 7-1. Al Ali is 9s. 10-1 Kida Bethune. Midak 11s. Wave Rider 12s. 14s Liberty Lane. And bigger prices the rest. Lots of progressive 4-year-olds making up this race, Tom. And there are a lot of progressive 4-year-olds. However, every Racing Post tipster in the building appears to have latched onto one progressive 4-year-old who also went straight in my tracker after a hugely eye-catching run at Leopard's Tail last time out.
Yeah, Diego El Queso is just an interesting runner, isn't it? Jer Lahn's, Colin Keane, drawn a bit wide, but just looks like it's completely turned a corner. Very well bred horse by Blue Point. It looks like he's completely turned the corner this year, and he could have won all three, really. He just good ground, mile and a quarter, perfect for him. Just looks like an unexposed runner for Jer Lahn's, who had a winner at the meeting last year with Lady Amant. So, yeah, he was the top of my shortlist. But it's a hard race, isn't it? It's a really hard race.
It is, yeah. And again, it's the thing about this first race as well is I find, again, and again, I've said this to a couple of people in the past, but they kind of poo-poo it. But I do think it takes jockeys a little bit to sort of adjust to it, to ease into it. And I think you can often call the winner sort of 2 or 3 furlongs from home, sort of sat on the shoulder again, sort of, I don't know, 2 out, 3 back or whatever, ranging out to the middle, like Westridge last year, and they get a clean run. So the draw is possibly the concern for Diego El Queso, albeit he is a dropout merchant anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. I mean, there's many, many times this race has been won by horses coming wide up the middle from high draws. I'm not sure the last two have. I can't quite remember, but I'm not going to get fussed about the draw, really. I've spent long enough getting this race wrong. I think it's probably the race, I think I said this last year, it's the race in the Canada I've probably got the worst record in the history of races. It sucks you in because it's the first race of a Goodwood meeting, but it always goes pear-shaped, doesn't it, in some way or another. So I'm not going to lose any sleep of it. I thought Diego El Queso had some upside. I'd love Noble Horizon to win for Ollie Ricks. Mm. I've been a The boys, you won't remember, but I worked with Henry Ricks, his dad, for many, many years at the Racing Post office. He's a great guy and learned a lot off him. And I'd love him to win for Ollie. This would have been a big plan for them. They love Goodwood. The family love Goodwood.
Well, he was the master and you were the apprentice once upon a time, to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely. And he just always had an affinity with Goodwood, Laffy and all those sort of horses. So I'm sure Noble Horizon's been laid out for this. I'd love him to win for the family. I think he's got a good chance. He was really good at Leicester, but there's loads you can make a case for. I thought Al Ali was quite impressive the other day for George Scott. But if you watch his run in the Old Newton Cup at Newmarket, it's pretty hard to make a case for him to be 8-1 and Night Breeze, one of Ian Williams' ones, to be 20-1. Because Nightbreed's cantered all over him, really. He didn't quite get home. I know Nightbreed's, all his form is over a mile and a half. The way he's been travelling this season, I think he wants to drop back. But there's also another Ian Wallace in there. I have the embarrassment of having backed Medak for the Derby last year at about 20-1. He started 9-1. I think Francois Graffard had him. He was unbeaten at the time. He's done not much since, but he did shape quite well last time in a listed race. He ran on quite well. He was a bit too keen.
It's very, but, very good. I got a good figure for that race.
Yeah,
as well.
It was a good time. Yeah. It was a very good time. He only beat one home, but it was a good time. So you could definitely make a case for him. It's just whether he's, you know, streetwise enough for race. He just does a lot wrong. But this could be the day. Ian Williams is brilliant. Ian Williams' horses at the moment are on fire.
Yeah. Well, ancient Rome, who won this a couple of years ago, had a similar-ish profile, and you kind of thought, oh, I don't really know what to expect from this horse. And he was the one middock who has that sort of feel to him. The main thing I thought about this race, I don't trust many of them.
No.
I mean, Diego Queso, it's not the first time he's caught the eye rattling from the back. I mean, Noble Horizon's going to have to, if he tries to make the running again, I don't like that over this trip round here. I mean, Yabba's a binary horse, isn't he? He's 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. Al Ahly beat nothing but impressively. Keita Bethu might have gone at the game. Liberty Lane, we haven't seen him run to his best for quite a while either. So I thought the more I went through this race, Robbie, I thought, are any of these bomb-proof?
You're telling me is you can't be that confident on anything.
Exactly, yeah.
And rightly so. That makes it an interesting betting puzzle.
Yeah.
I've had two bets. You mentioned them both. Midak, just echo the points you guys have said. I catch him running a good time at Newbury last time. Just, obviously, he's got that form in France, and he was not sent on 9-1 for the Derby. Ian Williams, always good with his new recruits. Jamie Spencer on board for an owner that target this meeting. Thought he was interesting, double figure odds. And Ahly as well. I mean, he's got a similar profile in that he was running in like classics last season. He ran in the Jockey Club last season. Taking a bit of time to find his form for George Scott, but he put up quite a big RPR last time at Newmarket in the first-time blinkers. Then maybe that was the key to him, I don't know. I just thought he had a good chance, and he'd probably rather be drawn low than really high, like James the Cheese, ideally.
As he's known in Spain.
Exactly. Diego is Spanish for James, for those that don't know.
Yeah. Or Jimmy the Cheese, if you're friends.
Jimmy the Cheese could be, yeah. So it's one of, you just can't go in it with maximum confidence at all. It's one of those, like, I'll have a couple of each way plays for the enhanced place terms and see how we get on.
Yeah. The one, and the only other one I would mention is again, he's a quirky sort, but he reminds me a bit of Westridge last year, and that's Twisting Physics, who, he's very frustrating.
Yeah, I had a fairly sizable amount on him when he got done short price.
At Newbury?
Yeah. And then he's come out and won a Windsor. But yeah, he put in a rapid finish in that race at Newbury at the start of the season. He was like the only one to get involved from off the pace in that. It was a meeting that had the really water to wine and convergent.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put in like the fastest final furlong apart from those two, that meeting.
And he absolutely shot him, but he's a bit of a trap horse.
Yeah.
But again, it's that sort of race, isn't it? So you are with...
I'm with the two old good Frenchies, Midak and Al Ahly, not to be mistaken by the sprint sire, Al Ahly.
Yeah, very true, yeah. And Tom?
Well, I have backed Diego El Queso, but I will also back Night Breeze, because I just think, as you pointed out, there's nothing here coming in without any doubts, but I've got no doubts about him. He's in the form of his life, undoubtedly in the form of his life.
Okay. Matt says, I also love Midas, and then corrected himself to say Midak, but I do hope your selection turns to gold, Matt, because I think he's got a chance as well. As for the rest, Twisting Physics each way, if you fancy the favourite, beat the same rival, albeit narrowly. And Tony Montana's got a cracking record at Goodwood, back down to 94 plus a £7 claimer. Okay, right, that's the first race of the glorious Goodwood Festival. Very different proposition in the vintage stakes. Al Hedaba and Hafner, both best priced 2-1 joint favourites at the moment. Pikachu 15-2, 8-1 Dot of Rascal, Undiscovered 9, 16-1 Ruler's Control here. And again, a smallish field for the vintage stakes. And again, echoing what we've been saying, Robbie, about where there were 500 two-year-olds ran at Royal Ascot, yet every subsequent two-year-old group race everywhere else appears to have had single-figure fields.
Yeah, it's quite strange, isn't it? What's the obsession with Royal Ascot? We all love Royal Ascot, but...
Yeah, and actually, to be fair, the Princess Margaret the Weaker was the first one where I thought, oh, this is actually a competitive race.
I guess a lot of that is speed, isn't it? 5 and 6 furlongs, this is 7, and we don't have as many of those horses in the pool.
Yeah, that's true,
at the moment.
And actually, a lot of the horses you do have in the pool over this trip are Irish trained as well. So
yeah, so we're relying on Aidan O'Brien, and he sent over Hafner, who he has obviously quite a bit to find. Like, he's not a 2-1 shot on what he's done. I know he won a historically very good Newmarket maiden won last year. Constitution River ran it the year before, but I mean, you can't draw comparisons between those two horses. The time was a lot slower than the superlative. Al-Hudaybah's form is the best, but he's obviously got an awful lot of quirks, hasn't he, Ross?
Yeah, and again, I don't like to see. I mean, Blinker's two-year-old group race, again, that equals, that's 2+2 equals no thank you.
Yeah, I was talking to Harry Wilson, the puzzler, off air, and he was put out an unbelievable stab at Blinker's. So Charlie Appleby's not done it in like 3 years.
Right, okay.
Doesn't love headgear. I know Opera Ballet wears a hood, but yeah, it's not something he does too often.
He's misplayed, he's found them. He's like, let's swap all the Blinkers.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a rare. I mean, they do have to be very quirky. I mean, he clearly is very quirky, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he unseated Tom Marquand earlier in his career, and he just went very wayward at Newmarket. But he's obviously got a massive amount of talent.
Yeah.
But can you trust him? £3 penalty, maybe not ideal. There's just a lot of interesting horses down the field.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about the horse you're affiliated with, the ratio horse, Undiscovered.
Yeah, I mean, they've. Again, it's another one. I genuinely don't know how you know. I don't know. Patrick unearthed some of these horses for these prices, but he was so. The Salisbury race was a bit of a penalty kick. He was like, we know this is a good horse. It's soft ground. Everything went to plan. But last time out, the speed figure was really, really good. Mm. And he's gone making all over six on soft ground to held up at the back off a strong pace, over seven on fast ground. And I like the way he went again in the final furlong. The race has thrown up really. Marban, who won this.
Yep.
Pile Driver won that race as well. A Bit of Spirit, who won the
Solario
last year. And he's been sold to in Australia or America, one of the two. So he's clearly a very, very good. I don't mind the. I think this is a good race for sort of stepping up in grade. I mean, Al-Hudaybah clearly does set the standard, but.
Mm.
And you say Hafner has a lot to find. Hafner, Dr. Rascal, and Undiscovered do have a lot to find.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's. Like, I'm expecting them, one of them, to find it.
Yeah, of course. And you could even argue Pikachu is like involved for £3 better terms for the superlative run. Dr. Rascal, very interesting as well. Impressive last time at Ascot. It's not one I want to be having a bet in, to be honest. I think I just want to sit and enjoy it because you can make a case for pretty much everything.
Yeah. But if you... So what is the one that you're... Because you...
I can't change my mind, to be honest.
But is the one you're against or you one you're like...
Nah, not really, because... Al-Hudaybah, you can't trust him, but maybe eventually, maybe the blinkers might work. I don't know. I'd probably be against Hafner, but then you're thinking Aidan O'Brien, 2-year-old, he's going to keep improving. He's going to put in a much better performance, you think, than in the maiden, even though the form's not there. So it's just confusing and quite interesting, ultimately.
And to be fair, you say, oh, we can't trust Al-Hudaybah, Tom, but he's 3 from 4. I mean, it's not like he's been throwing multiple races away. He's been finding a way to win. Funnily enough, he found a way to win in every race, apart from the one where he didn't need to find a way to win. And then he found a way to lose.
Yeah. I mean, I just think the Colts form for 2-year-olds is worth nothing at the moment. I think we haven't seen any. We might have seen a few in a maiden, but I think the group race Colts form I'm not overly impressed with. So I don't think any of those ones have much to find. I wouldn't. I mean, Al-Hudaybah's clearly got the best form, but I don't know what's, you know, that was okay, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't anything special at Newmarket, and I don't know. Hafner was. It just didn't, the time wasn't great and they went very slow, but he didn't finish very fast. Do you know what I mean? It was on the same day as Al-Hudaybah and he was a lot slower. I can't quite work out why he's 2-1. I thought the two unbeaten ones were the ones that interested me at the prices, Dr. Rascal and Undiscovered. I know probably going to get your wrath, Ross, but I preferred Dr. Rascal of the two just slightly. I really liked him at Ascot last time. I know everything went wrong, but... He was keen, everything went up, you know, at the start. He got bitten, didn't he? The jockey got bitten, he fell off, he got messed around, everything was wrong, you know. And he still hit the line really strongly. He's both socks, so he shouldn't have the pace he does have. But I wouldn't be surprised if they made the running again on him. If they make the running here, I know Pikachu might be with him. But if he can get the fractions right, Kaya Fraser, if it's Kaya Fraser is riding him again, I think he could be the one. I liked him. I just liked him at Ascot. I just liked the way he hit the line. And I think there's plenty more to come from him. And I'd point out the fact that Ollie Cole had the horse that was fourth in the Al-Hudaybah race, not beaten fast. So he sort of has a line to him. So it'll be interesting to see how the market goes. I can't remember the name of the horse, but it ran at Ascot at the weekend and was second in a listed race.
So Silver Dominion.
That's it. So I would give Dr. Rascal and undiscovered as, you know, I'd have them shorter, I'd have Hafner bigger, and I just don't know about Hal Hadiba. Clearly the form horse, clearly got quirks, could be a class above, but I'm not convinced the form is that strong yet.
Yeah. No,
that makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, again, I mean, it's a race I'm really looking forward to, but again, I mean, partly I'm... It's the first race you ever run in a group race. I really want to see Undiscovered go close. But he's also, it's the time last time out for him. But also Dr. Rascal, that race, it was the Leicester race, was again, put its head above the parapet. I thought, crikey, this is a good number for the race. Watched it back, thought there's a few to take. I thought this will throw up winners in nurseries, which it has. It's thrown novice winners and nursery winners. And what I liked about him at Ascot, like you said, it wasn't, they held the race up for like 5-10 minutes because of him out the back. But what I thought about a furlong and a half from home, I thought, that's going to have... He's travelling really well here, but surely the antics beforehand is going to have his impact. And then he went again. He found gears that I was sort of expecting him to have used by buzzing himself up beforehand. He really powered hit the line clear, didn't he?
Yeah, he really hit the line well. Now, it's hard to know what the form's worth. And the time wasn't exceptional, but I just like the way he went about it in the last two furlongs. And so, if he handles the track, which he should do, I give him a shot for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Really interesting race then, but not necessarily a strong betting angle necessarily in this. King Eric of Cantonar says this isn't a vintage, but it is one of those races where, again, it wouldn't surprise me, Robbie, if something did go, whew. Oh, okay, we weren't expecting that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, nothing would really surprise me. I think it's just one to enjoy.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, okay. Off to the next 7-furlong race, the Lennox Stakes, where we have a field of 8 lining up, and Lake Forest is best by 6-4, Kirat 130, Marvel Man 11-2, Witness Stand 15-2, Rogue Diplomat 12s, Holguin 25s, Poet Master in 66. Lord Britain, and again, what a difference a year makes, eh? 12 months ago, Lake Forest was 11-1 in this and rattled home from the back, well beaten by Witness Stand, though. Kirat popped up in the Sussex Stakes at 150-1, and now Witness Stand's 15-2, Kirat's 130, and everyone thinks Lake Forest is sort of a certainty in the market after his sort of improvement or maybe focus has improved since he's been gelded. It's also got the haggis factor again, of course, and we are contractually obliged to put a haggis horse in as near as to favourite as they possibly can in this sort of race, Tom. But I had my absolute potatoes on him at York after that each way, thinking that race would be absolutely perfect for him, and he met all the trouble running and just got beat. I guess we are relying on the smaller field and the gelding operation really focusing the mind, because he's got all the ability in the world, Lake Forest. But he does, or he has, made life difficult for himself.
Yeah, he has. He doesn't win as often as he should for a horse of his ability. But I do think the gelding operation might have turned him inside out. I mean, he looks so impressive at Haydock. And I was surprised they dropped him back in trip for Ascot. I think he's a 7-furlong. I think it's a miles, no problem for him whatsoever. I was really shocked they dropped him back to six. But they had your favourite horse, the Lummox, for the Queen Anne. What's he called,
Never
Ross?
Never So Brave.
No.
More Thunder.
A big old Lummox. More Thunder for the Queen Anne. So they dropped him back in trip. I didn't get that. I thought he ran fine. I think this is his trip. There goes my phone. Sorry about that. And I think that he's got a very good chance, because I think the race is going to be run to suit him. You've got Witness Stand, who's going to go fast. Kirat's going to go fast. Marvel Man likes to race up at the pace, so I could see him coming late and fast. I do think he's the horse with the most ability. Whether he's the one that's the most straightforward, I don't know. Of the others, I think Marvel Man will run well. I think he had a penalty when he probably might have bumped into a very good horse in Pabarus at
Newcastle last time.
I was impressed with him at York last year. I think he might be the one, but Witness Stand has very good course form. Kerat's never been beaten here. My old pal Rogue Diplomat. Oh, God, I've got so many old pals running that do my head in. Cal Parner was the latest one.
Yeah,
I was the only man in the world that kind of never have backed her, apart from the time she ran deplorably in the Ribblesdale Stakes when she was beaten by two horses, probably 3 stone worse than her.
I've told you, Tom, you're too ahead of your time. You're two or three runs ahead. You spot talent in a horse, and then 6 months later they achieve it, and you've already lost your cash.
I've lost my kahunas on them by then, and forget them. Rogue Diplomat being one. He's a very good horse, he is. Just drawn wide. It's a bit of a step up in class. I don't think 7 furlongs. It's a really interesting race, this. I'm really looking forward to it. I won't be having a bet because there's too many sort of quandaries for me. But I can see Witness Dan going very well. I mean, he's another one, isn't he? That killed me at Epsom last time when he got the rail and I thought everything was right for him and got beaten by 10 Bob Tony. I thought, and 10 Bob Tony came out and won the Queen Anne afterwards. So got a very good chance. Undoubtedly, Kirat beat Resalient here last year. Marvel Man won the... it's a really tough race. I think Late Forest, as I say, is the one with the most ability. Is probably the one that I would trust the least, though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all price, isn't it? It's all sort of price in this sort of race. But you're hoping that Marvel Man is the comic book hero of this race.
I'm hoping so. When I looked at it last week, he was 20-1. And Poborus, who beat him in the chip chase, was joint second favourite. He isn't running. So that's one obstacle out of the way.
Yeah.
I thought it was a big run, considering it was his return from a decent spot on the sidelines. I think he's better at 7. He made the run in at Newcastle in a headwind. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a pretty big effort. I mean, he looked like he could go on to be one of these real 7 furlong stars last season when on the Park Stakes, a bit of a Kim Ross type. We haven't quite seen it yet, but it's still early enough days. My concern is, I think he'll run well tomorrow. My concern is that York might be the day he's peaking for the City of York Stakes, considering the owner's sort of association with the track, the Bond Thoroughbreds.
Yeah, and obviously Balding won that race last year, and Bond Thoroughbreds had Marinoa Charlie in that race.
So exactly.
It's the perfect combination possible.
Bond Thoroughbreds love York and love a 7 furlong horse.
Yeah.
So that's what I worry about, but... And he's obviously got two massive core specialists to beat in Kirat and Witness Dan and Late Forest... is the best horse in the race from what we know at the moment, but his record doesn't. He finds too much trouble, so I couldn't have him. So I'm sticking with Marvel Man. I'm not sure he's necessarily better at these prices, but I really, 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 really hope he wins.
Okay. Yeah.
To be quite honest.
So you can get banned from another shop.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Am I just going to ask a question here, though? Because we do have a horse who's 3 from 3 at the track and last year won the Sussex Stakes.
Yeah, we're not really talking about that much, have we?
And came into this, and also comes into this off the back of a resurgent win last time out at York Over Never So Brave. He was a solid yardstick. I mean, Colin Keane so far has had no luck on him whatsoever. However, he hasn't ridden him at Goodwood, where Kirat obviously
thrives. Yeah, it's a specialist track, isn't it? I mean, he shouldn't have won that Sussex Stakes in a million years. But the fact is, he did.
Yeah.
And his previous course form was excellent as well.
It doesn't make sense. If you said to someone, someone who knows a little bit about racing, they'd go, so hang on a minute, he won the best race at the track last year and he's down in grade and he won last time out and he's unbeaten at this track and he's not favourite.
Yeah, it's just one of those mysteries, really. Well, it's not a mystery to us, is it? You can understand why, because he just simply should not have won that race.
Yeah.
If you look at the sectional times. I feel like Never So Brave, as I'm not sure he's operating at the same level he was, so I'm inclined not to rate that performance as highly as maybe I would have done last season. But the reality is he's gone and won at York, so he's coming in form. I certainly see it. It's just, for me, like any one of those top four could win it.
Yeah.
And Marvel Man, can you do it for me, please?
You're hoping it's him. I mean, at the price, I do think, again, it's if you think, if I'm in a situation where I think any of the four can win it, I'll just back the biggest price.
Course,
Witness
yes.
Stand is the biggest prize, and if you take that Chester run off his card, he's a shorter prize, and you can take it off because he was drawn 3 wide with an experienced jockey on a day where it was a proper Chester day and everything was coming down the inside. So you can just scratch that, and again, if you scratch that, his last run was getting beaten ahead by a subsequent Group 1 winner. So
yeah, that's the beauty of it. I mean, with Temple Tony, of course he's gone on and done plenty. Yeah, the Chester run is impossible to take at face value. So I mean, it does look like each way value, to be fair, at those odds, providing they stand their ground. But it's one of those four is going to be out the three.
That's well, maths.
What's your thoughts on Marvel? Marvel Man.
I kind of agree with you. I think York might well be the day. I'm concerned. I remember the year Kim Ross should have won this when Sandrine beat him. And I'm slightly concerned. I know it's only an 8 meter field that from box one, something might have gone before PJ manages to get himself out. Or do you think he's going to be on the speed again?
See, I don't know. That was what I was thinking like earlier on before the field was declared. Now I'm thinking, Witness Stan. And I don't know. we'll see how it plays out. It'll be handy.
And when you've got a good anti-post price or something, you do start to then...
Yeah, I start to doubt myself, yeah.
You start to look for all the reasons why it might be...
Yeah, and I'd like to see a bit of support tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm being greedy, I don't know. If he's out 7-1, I'll be like, oh, it's over.
You want to see him go off 5-4, don't you, and win by 10 lengths?
Yes.
But you're with Marvel Man. Tom?
Well, I find it really tricky. I hope Marvel Man wins for you guys. I mean, I wouldn't worry about him going to York after this. I mean, it's a 100 grand race, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not many 7-furlong races around for these horses. So he's got loads of horses have come here and gone to York. So wouldn't worry about that. Yeah, he's got a good chance, hasn't he? Love first four, all of them have got a good chance. And I wouldn't throw Rogue Diplomat out either. I think it's a great race. Not one I'm going to have a bet in. I hope Witness Dan wins, I think, myself. I just like him.
Yeah, he's I don't even know if he is a small horse, Tom. But in my head, he's a plucky little small horse who yeah. Runs above himself. That's the vibe he's got. So... Yeah,
it's an underdog, Ross, isn't he? He's the sort of horse you want to win, isn't it?
Absolutely. My wife always, if we watch football or anything like, or any sport, she always cheers the underdogs. The problem is, if the underdogs then go sort of 1 or 2 nil up, she then goes, oh, well, they're not underdogs anymore. Oh, they're winning. So it's so if Witness Stand starts winning too many, then you know. In the chat. All evidence points to Witness Stand. Nice, Cliff, nice. Let's have a look. Great listen while sat at my desk working. I hope we're keeping you nicely distracted. The Doc, he might win, but Al Hadaber is a lunatic and you need to have balls of steel to back him. Sticking with Kirat says Bert and Ernie for this one. And King of Erica Cantona says, what's with all the adverts? King Eric, that is that's a YouTube thing, as Music Mike has said. And I can assure you that the best investment you will ever make is paying for YouTube Premium.
Do you do that?
What is
it a month?
It's like a tenner, maybe 12 quid or something.
Okay.
It has saved me, because there are everything on YouTube. It saved me watching 1,000 adverts.
It's so frustrating, because every once a week I do like an ab workout at home, and like halfway through it would just go to an advert.
Yeah.
And I'm a mid plank. It's like, cheers.
I swear to God, man, it's the best.
I'll have to look into
it. See
that.
If we can get sponsored by him, because it is. It has saved me so many headaches, yeah.
Nice.
So there you go, King Eric of Cantona. Treat yourself.
What's YouTube, Ross?
It's okay, Grandad. We'll explain later. It's like the television, but it's on your computer, but it's also now on the television as well.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. It's like the wireless, but never mind. Okay. Big race of the day then, coming up next with the Goodwood Cup. Again, it's a big race anyway, but it's a big race this year as we get to see Scandinavia take on Trawlerman once again. And it was the very definition of a ding-dong battle down the home straight at Royal Ascot 40 days ago. Let's hope we at least get something to match that this time around. Scandinavia is even money. 9-4 is Trawlerman. Then you've got Lazy Griff, Rahib and Amalok all at backable each-way prices. And French Master Illinois and Miss Alpeels possibly... making up the numbers. But, Mr. Wilders, Scandinavia, 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 just keeps winning.
Does the business.
Trawlerman off the back of a big absence with the ski goggles on for the first time gave him a bit of a fright. Now, is Trawlerman going to come on for that?
Yeah, that's the
question.
Or
is he going to bounce?
It's always a thing that, like, older horses... Actually, where am I going? I don't know where I'm going with that. But
no, I think.
Yeah, do you kind of know what I was about to say?
Well, in my head, I feel like it'll take them longer to recover from a huge first run like that.
That was kind of what I was about to say before I bottled it completely.
But I don't have the stats at hand about that.
Yeah, I prefer him at Ascot. I mean, he's such a strong stayer. It's just more of a stiff test. But Scandinavia is an equally strong stayer.
Yeah.
It's one of those races where I didn't put too much effort, because I know there's not going to be a bet in it.
Yeah,
it's one of those where you know the horses form inside out. You can just enjoy it. I mean, I doubt many people are going to be having a serious bet on this race. What have you got an angle for us?
I mean, I bet you some people, you know, the old bookies reps that put up this person's come up and done this. I bet there's some people having lumps on Scandinavia.
To be fair, yeah, I mean, he's for people with the accumulators and stuff as well.
He just because he keeps winning, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, I mean, he's hard to fault. I was reading, I don't want to tee up what Tom said, I was reading Tom's copy and he made a very good point though about Aidan O'Brien horses. So I'm going to pass on to Tom about your thoughts on Scandinavia.
Well, the Ascot ones, Ross and Robbie, haven't, a lot of them have come out and run rubbish. Mm. And when I mean rubbish, really rubbish. Mini Hawk was last, Causeway was last, Illinois was nearly last. I didn't think Precise was the same filly after Ascot when she went to the Falmouth. Mission Central didn't raise a gallop for me in the July Cup, nothing like he did at the in the King Stand.
Did you mention you Causeway? Did you say
Causeway? He was last. South Dakota ran in the Cheshire and got thrashed at Killarney. Do you know what I mean? I just some of them are coming out and winning, but the Ascot ones, there's a few. Sun Goddess won, but I didn't think she was very impressive when she won. Do you know what I mean? Came out, she won, but she was too
mistaken. Carry the Flag won a listed race, but made incredibly heavy weather.
Hard work of it. And I just wonder whether the Ascot horses maybe caught something or aren't running to the form that some of the others are. I don't know. I mean, it's pure speculation. I don't know. But that would be nagging in the back of my mind if I was going to take 10 to 11 about Scandinavia when he's only got a little bit to find. With Trawlerman's only got, not much to find with him and slightly better off at the weights and has had a run. So, I don't know. I thought there was a chance of an upset in this and it sounds ridiculous and it's my typical thing where I'm going to add two and two together and come up with five. But I thought Amilok had a chance for the reason that I thought the Hardwick was maybe the best race at the whole of the Ascot, Royal Ascot. I know it was only a group two, but I thought it was a really strong race running really good. It just looked, everything about it felt right. And Amilok was out the back. He just had run no race at York in the Yorkshire Cup on his comeback run. And he was a big price. And he flew home. He wasn't beaten far. He was sixth. He got trouble in running. I don't know that Trawlerman could finish fifth or sixth in a Hardwick Stakes. Age eight. I doubt it very much. Scandinavia, maybe. Maybe. But Amilok did it. He's two from two at Goodwood. And his pedigree screams 2 miles.
Yeah.
Postponed out of a Camelot mare, is it, or something?
Authorised mare, yeah.
Authorised mare, even more. It screams 2 miles for you. He's two from two at Goodwood. He just looks like a horse that's going to peak on the day. Whether he's top quality overstaying trips, I don't know. But he might be. He's won group races. He's won at Royal Ascot last year. As I say, he's two from two here. He was second in the Irish St. Ledger. Al Riffer was very good on his day. I mean, he's top quality on his day. I know he was behind these two at Ascot, the top two at Ascot, but I don't think Amilok was at his best that day. And I just thought at Goodwood at 16 or 20 to 1 or whatever he was, with an each way, with provided the 8 run, he could finish in the frame and he's not a forlorn hope to bustle up the two at the top because I think he's got an enormous amount of ability, Amilok. And you could say the same about Lazy Griff, but I just don't know whether he's got that. You know, Amilok's done it. I mean, and Lazy Griff, second in the Derby, wasn't he? So you could say the same, but I just thought the track and everything about Amilok's run in the Hardwick meant that he might outrun his odds by quite some way.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him. I really liked him last year. And again, I mean, he ran in the I thought he might go for the other Ascot race that he went for and ended up not sort of backing him because he was a short price anyway, but he. I mean, I think that what he will do, he'll win the Irish St. Ledger this year because he ran such a good race in it last year as a three-year-old. I think he'll just go back there and win that again. But, yeah, he is just a very, very good horse. And, I mean, even, you know, he went to the Breeders' Cup and he was only a couple of lengths behind Ethical Diamond, Rebel's Romance. He was ahead of Mini Hawk. He is a Group 1 horse. He just hasn't dropped for
it. Yeah,
it's
just the York run, which was just desperately poor. But if you take that out, he does have stronger.
But they ended up making the running on him, which he's never done before. And I think he was just like, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah. I could. You guys make a strong, good case, to be honest.
I think he won, but I'd be surprised. I'd partly be surprised if he won, but also I'd be pleasantly surprised. I'd be like, "Oh, I knew you had this in you, mate."
He probably needs Scandinavia to slightly underperform, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, because Scandinavia is one of those horses that only just does the thing. So, you know, Scandinavia could be a 5-time Gold Cup winner. Do you know what I mean? A 4-time Gold Cup winner. He could be one of those.
Well, and the last 3-year-old to win the Goodwood Cup was Stradivarius, who won the next four? So it could just be, we could be sitting here in 12 months going, 1-2 about Scandinavia. Are we taking him on again? Yeah. And then, you know, he's won his last 15.
it's going to be even more of a boring Betham race.
Yeah, exactly. And then it'll be a six-year-old and be like, he's the greatest stayer of all time.
Yeah, exactly. But everyone loved Kiprios, but like, you never bet in his races.
No.
Because he was just too good.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we don't know that yet.
It's like backing a tennis player against Djokovic or something. It's like,
yeah.
Like when the one set, you're like, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
You know.
But as you say, Ross, could Scandinavia have finished? Because I thought he should have finished second in the Breeders' Cup. Could Scandinavia have done that? He probably could have, but it's not certain. Whereas I think Amalok has.
Yeah.
Should have finished second in the Breeders' Cup. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he's
overrated. And I think the thing is, on pedigree and being a pedigree guy, 2 miles is going to, he's going to love it.
Yeah.
He's going to absolutely love it. And if that brings about £6 of improvement, he's right there with those guys. He is right there with those guys.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Raheeb performance, I think that's a trap. I know Harry's sticking with him. Yeah. I don't trust this. I mean, there's so much headgear in this race, and the one horse I'm thinking needs some headgear hasn't got any headgear on.
Yeah.
So
so each way for you on Amalok with them.
Well, I think, again, I just really like him. I don't want to bet in this race because I don't want to bet against Scandinavia.
But you'll be kicking yourself if he does.
Yeah, and then I don't want to do the without the favourite markets. There's nothing worse than without the favourite markets. Then you beat the favourite and something beats you and you lose your bet.
Still worse missing a winner than backing a loser. I strongly believe in that. Do you not think? I hate missing a winner.
You're still young, though, Robbie.
It grates at me.
The older you get, the more it turns. So
The thing is, Ross, if he is a good stayer, you'll never get 14-1 or 16-1 about him again.
Yeah.
Oh, you two.
I've got two.
You've got to have a few.
Come on, have a few quid.
God.
Do it for me.
All right. I'll have a small bet
you
on
will
him tomorrow.
Kick yourself.
And then I'll have a big bet on him when he wins the Irish St. Ledger. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, 6-4. That's no good.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. All right. Fine.
Now you lot are talking me into taking the 14-1. To be honest, I didn't think this was a betting race at all.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, neither did I. all right, okay. Let's see what they're saying in the chat about tomorrow's big race, shall we? As I close the stream. It's a good start. Wouldn't trust Amalok as far as I could throw him, says Garrick of Cantona. Fair enough. To be fair, you're more likely to kick him, aren't you, Garrick?
Hey.
let's have a look. And Buick will let Trawlerman rip tomorrow. I thought he was just holding on to it a little bit in the Gold Cup as he was first time out. And Lazy Griff.
He's definitely classy and Lazy Griff, Amalok. We can agree with that, can we?
He's classy. Yeah, I think he is classy, yeah. I want to see a good Johnson horse at Goodwood. You know, it feels right. Mm,
traditional.
It feels traditional for him to win a big race. So, like I said, the one I don't like is Raheeb, but whenever you say that, they end up proving you're wrong.
But yeah, because we sat on Friday, Cal Palmer was the one that was like, I don't rate her at all with King George.
Yeah.
You get it wrong sometimes, it's part of the fun.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But again, it's that thing, it's like, your brain's like, don't say it. Don't say it. But I can't resist saying it.
That's why I don't lay horses.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I do, I don't lay 7-1 shots, yeah.
Well, the risk, the reward's not worth the risk.
No. Right, let's move on to the 5 furlong handicap then, shall we? With a big field here. Lexington Blitz is likely to be popular, 11-2 best price, 17-2 Twilight Calls, 10-1 Adrestia, Run Boy Run, 12-1 Glamorous Breeze, Nana Sparkle, 7 questions, 14's Rapper's Delight, and 16-1 and bigger the rest. And it started off as a joke, Tom Siegel, but it is now becoming serious, because again, you are the ultimate contrarian, so if we start to take the mick out of you for loving sprints, eventually you go, you know what, I'm going to start cracking sprint handicap. So over to you, Sprint King, Tom Siegel, for the 5 furlong handicap.
I can honestly say, Ross, that of all the races run this season, that looks the hardest one. That 5 furlong sprint.
It's hard, isn't it?
That is impossible. I wouldn't know where to start, honestly. Honestly, I'd probably start? I'd keep it incredibly simple and back Twilight Calls.
There we go, there's your winner, right? This is what always happens, though. You do this all the time, I don't know where to start. Well, the horse will win.
Well, it just ran so well in the Stewards' Cup, didn't it? Last year, he won on his side. Mm. I think he's £7 lower this time round, and he's in very good form, and Staffy's riding him. So I just keep it incredibly simple and go like that. I mean, you can make a case for 20 of them, you know, on the going day. So I'll keep it simple. Twilight Calls. That's it. I'm going to back him now. I've made the case so coherently. This one's going to win.
You'll be too annoyed if he...
Exactly. Yeah.
You'll be too annoyed if he wins now and you don't. So
he does this all the time. He does this all the time, Tom. He goes, but I was considering, I might, for one of my columns, Tom, I might do a first thought, best thought. Just have a week, right, where I just map. When I look at a race and I scroll down, and my first thought, I'm going to make a record of it. I don't know, maybe have a token bet on them and just see by the end of the week. Like sort of first thought, best thought versus paralysis by analysis.
That's quite a good idea because I'm quite instinctive that way.
Well, because
quite often.
The thing is, right, if you're doing your job properly, you are on top of the form, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Correct.
So you should instinctively go, oh, I've been, you look at it and you get a feel for it. Obviously, if you're not on top of the form, your instincts aren't honed like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's a...
You earn the right to be instinctive by putting the work in.
Exactly.
So you can just look at a market and look at a list of price and think, right, that horse is the wrong price without even watching a replay or anything.
And you know what I did? I actually did this for this race.
And who was it?
Not also, so, and again, partly, because guess what? Guess last six run-ins, what do they all have in common, Tom? Last six winners?
They won last time out?
They were trained in Yorkshire.
I was going to guess that. I was going to get a bottle in it. You always pulling out these Yorkshire stats.
Yorkshire, but look, this is the thing, but it makes...
They're underrated.
There are a lot of great sprint trainers in Yorkshire. And I scrolled down this field and I got to Tocamadera and I thought, bloody hell, that's a big price, isn't it? And I thought, I'm sure he's run well here at Goodwood in the past. And he has. He's finished third over six furlongs on soft ground. He's finished third in the three-year-old version of this handicap. He backed him off the boards a couple of starts ago. He bolted up. I don't think the race has been run to suit on his last couple of starts. They sent him over to Ireland the other day, ran perfectly creditably. I just looked at him and thought, this is the wrong price. So he was the automatic one where I thought, Yorkshire Sprinter, been running really well this year, well handicapped, course form, likes the ground. That win at Doncaster a couple of starts ago, you know, he made mincemeat of them. I thought he just stood out.
We love that York form with Stratus 9 and Parzan Hero as well.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Similar, just, you know, it's a similar sort of test. Yeah, I get it.
So he was the first one that just stood out a mile.
The one that stood out a mile to me, my instinctive one was in terms of raw talent, Jas Orr dropping into a handicap.
Yeah.
But like a bit like Al Hadabi, he probably can't trust him, but he's...
Two in the chat, 18 to 1. Pure Blood and Rob Dixon. Jas Orr down in grade for both of them.
Yeah, it's just interesting. He's always been awfully talented. Maybe he might thrive on this sort of setup. You don't know. You're guessing. Still one. Could that be impossible to overcome? We don't know. There's always been a hell of a lot of ability there. And I can't believe that he hasn't been gelded yet, has he?
Is he not?
Are they still trying to make a sire out of him? I don't know. But on his day, he can win this off 104. I always like these class horses dropping into handicaps.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd actually want to back him, though.
No?
But then again, if he wins, I'll be fuming.
See, this is the theme of the show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to leave it and just pray he doesn't.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But just so there's a few people in the chat who agree with you. And elsewhere in the chat, Nana Sparkle for Robert Drasher. Dionysos was my instinctive one, says Lokranza. Good feeling, there's a good horse in there. Cliff is sweet on candy each way. Again, there's some good puns in here, Cliff. I'm appreciating them a lot. Glamorous Breeze and Run Boy Run. Phil Cunningham has a five in this, says Tommy Daniels. But didn't he? I'm sure he got a... Yeah, I mean, combination forecast. He did that last year in the... Was it the Stewards?
Two Tribes and...
Run Boy Run?
Yeah. And Seven Questions, was it?
There's quite a few of them, anyway. But yeah, so it wouldn't be the worst idea.
They're brilliant in these sprint handicaps, aren't
they?
Yeah,
he's having a right old year as well. So, okay, let's rattle through the last few then at Goodwood, shall we? The 4:45 is up next. We've got a two-year-old 16-runner maiden here. And again, my... It's all going well. My laptop's completely died, so that's good. Launch sequence, 15 to 8 favourite. Savage Moment, a 9 to 2. 5 to 1 final objective. 7 Council, 13 to 2. 7 to 1 Agrippa. 15 to 2 Dorigo, for all you 90s Leeds centre-back fans. And 25 to 1 and bigger the rest here.
Tony Dorigo was not a centre-back, Ross.
Tony Dorigo was a centre-back, wasn't he?
He was a right-back. Surely he was on... He was a little... He wasn't that big, was he? A little lad.
No, didn't Gary Kelly play on the right and Dorigo was
well,
a centre-back?
Well, actually, both wrong, according to Gemini. He's a left-back.
left-back, right-back.
All right, fair enough.
Wasn't a centre-back.
All right, Tom, you're more right than Ross.
Okay, I'm confused now.
Oh, he played for Chelsea.
What do you mean I was more right than him? He was totally wrong and I was right.
Yeah, but he's left-back. You said right-back, mate.
All right, okay. Well, focus, boys. Focus. Come on.
For Chelsea as well.
Focus here, because this... To my eyes, Tom, this is the worst favourite of the day, Lawrence Dequist.
Yes, I didn't even get why James Doyle was riding him.
Hmm. Yeah, fair.
I thought that's the only reason he's favourite, isn't it? It's because James Doyle's riding him and not the other one. Surely the other one has better form, the final objective.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Savage Mariner had better form. I thought
but the one I like, it's the I like the Savage Mariner. What a good name. Savage Mariner, I like him. I thought the Leicester form is just rock solid, isn't it? It's red hot.
Yep.
Libertango won it. The third horse, Clive Captaincy, was it called? Beat Never Enough, that won Ascot at the weekend. The fourth horse, Sidebrin Saror's horse, has come out and won since. I just think that's really red hot form. You can forget he's run it. I think he dropped back to five furlongs. Didn't he run
in the Norfolk, yeah.
Norfolk. And he missed the break. Things went wrong. I thought he had the best form for me. Savage Mariner. Good name. Good horse. Get on.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
There is something very satisfying about fancying a horse with a good name as well. Mm. Not quite as good for my eyes. I thought the horse that Agrippa ran into last time out was that Cox horse is a very, very nice type. I think it was the same weekend or the same card that Song of the Clyde. Well, I immediately looked at it and thought, that'll win the Carnarvon Stakes next year, as Song of the Clyde did. It's very similar to that. I thought,
Crystal Ball.
Carrying a penalty at Newbury over six furlongs as a two-year-old, I was like, I know where you're going to end up next year. Nice. So I thought Agrippa would win a big race for him.
Yeah, he's got a chance. I do agree with Tom on Savage Mariner, though. I backed him at Royal Ascot. He's massive steam at Royal Ascot. He was about 33-1, went off 11s in the end. I guess part of that is because Libertango won the Albany.
Yeah.
But going back to six is definitely going to help him, I would say. And... yeah, you just got to take on that favourite, I think. If James Doyle rides Final Objective, then swap the prices.
Yeah, fair enough. I love Goodwood, but there's lots of filler in these last few races every day, says Tommy Daniels. And Agrippa was unlucky last time out, and I think he'll win it from the front. Last couple then at Goodwood, the 5:20 is up next. We are a 15-runner handicap here for the fillies. Where three-year-olds have dominated in recent years. Anastasi, 4-1 favourite, Rumba number 6-1, 13-2 Crazy Icon, 7-1 Proposal, 15-2 Nanino Niati, and bigger the rest. And you're hoping that the three-year-old domination continues?
Yeah, I really like Anastasi. Really, really solid. My biggest fancy of the day. Just keeps winning races. Admittedly, the race she won last time isn't as deep as this, but it's worked out really, really well. She's got a proper Goodwood pedigree. Has already won at Goodwood, admittedly, over a mile over this course and distance. That damn Anna Nerium won the Oak Tree Stakes, I believe, a few years ago for these
owners. She was a proper course specialist.
Yes, she was, yeah. And she had a couple of other various pieces of good course form. Just I don't think the handicap has caught up with her yet. And she's going to race prominently. She's tough, obviously classy, 88. You wouldn't be shocked if she ran in the Oak Tree next year, I don't think, at all. So, yeah, I think she's like certain to be in the shake. She has come in a bit, I should say, but I'm confident enough.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Anastasi, again, a race that I kind of scrolled down. I didn't trust many of them. I didn't fancy that many of them, Tom. I kind of just gave it a pass. But what did you think?
Yeah, I thought Anastasi's been on my radar, just like the pedigree, as you say. I thought Rumba Number had a very good chance as well. Roger Varian's got a very good record in this race. Why draw? It would be a worry slightly, but better than she showed last time, I thought, even though it was at the Ascot and she was fifth of 24. I thought she did really well to finish where she did, actually, because she sort of just didn't go right for her. It just didn't go right for her. She stayed on. Well, I think this is perfect for her. I think she's pretty classy. I think she's got a good chance against the favourite.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we get on to the last, there are currently 612 people watching this live. And if you all like the stream now and we get over 500 likes, we will live stream Tom tomorrow doing a Rumba Number. We'll get him.
A very good Rumba Number. I will do a very good Rumba Number too.
Yeah, have you got dancing feet, Tom?
No.
Oh, fair enough.
You surprised me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes anyway. All right. So last race on day one of Glorious Goodwood then. Filly's handicap over 6 furlongs. A Macadadorp is 9-2 favourite.
Macadadorp.
6-1 Zendiva, Binterina 7-1, Gold Digger 9-1, and Rogue Attraction 9-1, 10-1 Secret History, 14-1 bar those. And again, this is it's a really interesting race. There's a lot of balding red hot form going around, not only at the weekend, obviously with Calpana, but in tomorrow's cards as well. And whatever happens, this is another one of those ones where this favourite is a good horse, is well handicapped.
Oh yeah,
she is absolutely black type class. I know she will be, but dropping back to 6 at Goodwood.
She's got a lot of pace,
is a sort of, yeah, it's one of those ones where I know I can't have a bet in this race unless it's her, because I just know that in my heart she's the best horse in this race, or she will be in time.
So you have to back her. She's come in though.
I know, that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, she's 13-2 yesterday. She's come right in. I don't think the drop to 6 is going to be any issue whatsoever. By Memas showed plenty of speed. I always like, one of my biggest weaknesses as a punter is getting sucked in by handicap debutants. Yep. I think I need to stop doing that. And she has been beaten on handicap debut, run an absolute blinder. I mean, the third wasn't beaten far in the Sandringham before that. I think that's a really good race. I know you're sweeping Planet Seeker, the winner, who runs in the Oak Tree Stakes. Possible related double angle there.
Yep.
Just think that's really hot form. She's going to be better for that behind. There's a lot of ability. I'm not concerned about the drop back to 6 at all. I expect her to have the speed for it.
Actually, that's a fair point, actually, because she was really impressive around Chester. They went to Weatherby, which is, you know, very speed favourite as well, and she was up there and she battled on gamely. She did too much, arguably, at Newmarket.
Yeah.
Over 7, and she was miles clear of the third. The time was really good. I just know those two horses are good. And you're right, if I fancy the winner for a Group 3, I should be backing her.
Yeah,
for
and there's only £7 between them.
My worry was, if I'm honest, that's the trip, it's more the draw.
Yeah, okay.
Because there has been races in the past where I think Kitai won this a couple of years ago, bagged this near side rail, just they didn't see which way she went. They can, Tom, yeah. Early on, and not just early on, actually, obviously Get It won the stewards as well. From a rail can help a hell of a lot on the sprint track at Goodwood.
It can do, yeah. I mean, I was a member at Goodwood in my youth. It's got a bit of a kink in it, so I never really thought that the draw was that big a thing. Everyone thinks it's dead straight. It's got a little bit of a kink in it, but I don't know. I've never really worried about the draw on the straight track. I remember back in my youth, Willie Carson rode the winner of a stewards cup and he went on his own down the far side and won by 5 lengths. And I just think we can get over complicated with horse at Goodwood.
Yeah, I guess I'd rather have one of the. Like, I remember Cardem winning the stewards from when hugging the rail and Get It hugging this rail. I'm not bothered about which rail. I'd just like one of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, but there was a time when the Stewards' Cup, going back to Henry Rix's day, when Laffey was winning, they always won up the middle.
Yeah.
They used to win up the middle every time. And so maybe things have changed, maybe watering's changed, I don't know. But I'm probably showing my age here, but I've never worried about the draw at Goodwood ever.
Yeah.
Let's worry about the draw after the race.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing about the draw, isn't it? That's the thing about the draw. The draw's a very good angle after the race.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Before the race, it's really hard to know where it's going to be. So I'm not worried about it.
Who do you think is the best filly in this race, or potentially anyway?
Well, I thought, yes, I think she might be. And also like Bintariana. I thought she did really well to win at York last time. Sort of came fast. It was a bunch finish. There was like 5 across the line together. But she would have been 2 or 3 lengths up in another half furlong, I thought. And I just thought, She had plenty going for it too. But listen, I had loads of work to do today. I had a weekend column. I got Galway, which we haven't mentioned. I've been doing half of Galway as well. So this race wasn't top of my list, considering it's not a race that I had to look at. But I'll trust your judgment on Binteldorf. I do know that Bintariana is in my tracker, so I would give her a second look as well.
Okay, fair enough. And Galway?
Yeah, there's the mile handicap there. I'm a sucker. He's not very well drawn, but Hardy Warrior for Joseph O'Brien. Joseph O'Brien, who do you think won the big handicap today? Joseph O'Brien.
He did, yeah. Albeit with the McManus horse, the wrong McManus horse. I fancied the other one.
Yeah, exactly, with the wrong one. But Hardy Warrior split Benvenito Cellini and a boy named Susie last season, and he beat Johnny Mercer's horse that was second in the Jersey. Really good horse. take no chances or take something, I don't know, but something like that. But he beat that one at the start of the season. He's dropping back to a mile again here. He's drawn in 16, but I know he's a group horse and he's a three-year-old running against some, you know, some horses we know a lot about. If the draw doesn't kill him, I thought he'd win.
All right, fair enough. Right, Goodwood, Galway, big week. Let's hope we can start or, well, carry on where we left off, actually, from the weekend. So again, if you haven't already, like, subscribe, join us for the rest of the week. But let's end with the naps on day one. I can probably guess what your nap's going to be, Robbie. I'm going to ask you anyway. Robbie Wilder's best.
Well, even the last two. I love those two fillies. Okay, Anastasi in the 520 I'm going to go for.
All right, Anastasi it is. I'm going to go for Macadodorp.
Yes.
Let's go for Macadodorp. Again, I fancy more later on in the week, but she's a class act, I think. So let's hope that draw doesn't impede her. Tom?
Well, as it's a Goodwood show, I won't go for Hardy Warrior because I think he's got a very good chance at Galway. I think the one in the first, the Irish horse in the first, is going to go really well. Diego, Jimmy the Cheese.
Jimmy the Cheese. Such a good cheese.
Diego El Queso.
El Queso.
All right. Lovely stuff. Bueno. Right. Wonderful. Thank you to everyone for watching. King Eric of Cantona is going with Marvel Man as the nap. Amalok for Romping Home. If you've watched the show, you'll know that we'll be happy with both of those things come in as well. So, lovely stuff. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And we will see you 6:30 tomorrow night for more Glorious Goodwood and a little bit of Glorious Galway as well. Good night.